Good evening. I greet you in the name of Jesus this evening. It's good to be back together. I think some of us are hoping that these lights will bring a little heat with them also tonight. Last night, as we looked at salvation, being a child of God, you know, just because we're saved doesn't mean that all our problems are taken away and we're perfect saints and just waiting for the trumpet to sound. All of us have needs. Maybe you call them issues, whatever you want to call them. The question tonight that I want to look at is, are you free? Are you free? What is biblical freedom? We hear a lot today about freedom in Christ. We hear a lot of different definitions. People saying, I'm free in Christ. That's why I can do this. I'm free in Christ. That's why I don't have to listen to my authorities. Freedom in Christ, isn't freedom in bondage the opposite? Rules, they're restrictive. I'm free. I don't have to worry about any rules. What is biblical freedom? I hope when we're done this evening that we will all understand and we'll look at our hearts and say, am I walking in freedom? Or is there something that I need to do, something that needs to be taken care of so that I can truly walk in freedom? Where we live in Chiang Mai, Thailand, we're kind of in the city, in the edge of the city, and we don't have room to have really any animals. So in growing up on a small farm, I like animals, birds, and so on. So we decided to have a little bit of a farm, and we got some parakeets. You can buy parakeets for a couple dollars over there, and we bought a little bird cage like this, and each of our children picked out a bird, and we brought them home one night and set them on our front porch there. And before we even had our other things in from our car into the house, the neighbor's cat was already on its way over to taste parakeet. And so we had to set them inside that night, and the next day we figured out where we're going to hang this thing so it's safe. And we hung it up there, and it was safe, and we enjoyed having birds there, and it turned out to be a nice, fun little thing for us, and kind of a small farm type of a thing. Well, one day, as one of my children were either feeding the birds or playing or doing something with them, and they'd opened the door, just a small door, but somehow one of the birds managed to get out, and it flew off. And of course, when you have a small farm, a loss of one bird is a big loss, right? And so there was some mourning over that, and that was really sad. And, you know, where is it out there? And you look around, it went that way, and it's gone. And we just kind of gave it up. It's gone for good. Well, the first one out of bed the next morning that came downstairs came running back up, says, the bird's back, the bird's back. And here the bird was back, perched on this little 16-inch by about 24-inch cage, trying to get back in. Now, that seemed a little bit humorous to us. You know, the bird just found its freedom. You know, they're inside the cage and they're trying to get out and they go along the side. And so when it got out, now it's wanting back in. You know, then I had to think, where was the bird the most free? When it could fly wherever it wanted to and go, no cage to say you've got to stay here. You know, that seems like freedom. It could go wherever it wants. Or was it more free inside the cage where it always had feed and water every day? Where it could roost at night and didn't have to hide from the cats or the snakes. Well, we were able to catch that bird and put it back in, and it enjoyed a nice long life safely in the cage. Since then, we've had other birds get out, and some do the same thing. Others think it's more free to stay out. Where we lived in Minnesota before going to Grenada, we lived along a busy highway, somewhat like a 39 where we're staying now. We had probably about a 100-yard drive out to before the road, so we're off the road a little bit. and our children were big enough, they started riding bicycle, and they liked to ride down our driveway. Now, I know that this highway, Highway 65, is a busy highway. A lot of logging trucks go by there. So I told my children, I said, there was a telephone post about halfway out the drive. I said, that's the line. When you get there, you turn around, and you come back. No further. Okay. And that's what our children observed. That was the line. Now, I'm sure there's a few times where they skidded tires and slid past. But no one was hurt. I never had to bury a child because of being hit by a logging truck while we lived in Minnesota. Now, you could say, that's really restrictive of you as a dad. I mean, your children have 100 yards to drive on, you give them 50, and you say, there's the line. You know, if you really loved your children, you give them some freedom. Children, I just really want you to have a good time. As you get on your bikes today, you can go wherever you want. Forget that telephone pole and just drive. And when you get to the road, you know what? If you get enough speed, you might be able to get some air as you come up onto there. Just have fun. Don't worry about anything. That's freedom. Would that be freedom? If I really love my children, I'd just say, just do what you want. Just go for it. I think you know the answer to those questions. What is biblical freedom? What's it mean to be free in Christ? Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And just to give you a little bit of introduction before we get into Galatians chapter 5. When Paul begins his letter, he starts out with a rebuke of how the Galatians had so soon been removed from the true gospel to another gospel. And what had happened is Judaizers had come along after the Galatians had made a good start, and they had told them that, yeah, it's okay to be a Christian with Paul's teaching, but you also have to be circumcised, and other certain things of the law were necessary for salvation. They said you had to do these things for salvation. And the Galatians were starting to buy into this, that they've got to keep portions of the law to be saved. And Paul was not happy with this. Paul did not have a problem with them still being circumcised. Paul did not have a problem with them observing certain things of the law, but not as a basis of salvation. And that's what has happened there. We come to chapter 5, and he's talking about liberty, about freedom. And let's read through this passage together. Why don't you stand with me tonight as we read this passage of Scripture? Galatians chapter 5, and let's just read through the whole passage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. And what he's saying is, if you're depending on circumcision or keeping of the law, then Christ is of no effect. You've got to keep the whole law then. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And then Paul goes on and reminds them they're saved by faith, not the law. And I'm going to skip down a few verses. Let's go to verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And these are two key things here, the Spirit and the flesh. And when you're talking about freedom, make sure you identify freedom to what? Freedom to the Spirit or freedom to the flesh? And we'll come to that later on. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, envy, and murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's bow our heads and pray again. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes to understand tonight what truly it means to be free in Christ. Why we're free. What we're free from and what we're free to. So, Father, open the eyes of our heart tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give you three things on freedom tonight. The first one is I am free because, and we'll explain that, and then what we are free from, and then what we are free to. Okay? We need to understand what we're free, why we're free. We are free because. So that's what we're going to look at first. And then we're going to move on to I am free from. What have you been saved from? What are you free from tonight? And then you are free to. See, your freedom in Christ is not just for your own benefit. It's not just I'm free. You are free to. There's a purpose to your freedom. In fact, that one is the real test tonight. And we'll come to those in order. Galatians 2:20 says, you don't need to turn there, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Point number one, I am free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. I am free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you are free, it is not because of anything you have done. We talked about that last night. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're free tonight, it's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The work of salvation was completed, and it's only because of that completed work that you are free, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, there's no freedom. Your freedom comes only because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And I like these verses in Hebrew. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go ahead and turn to there. Hebrews 10, four verses I'd like to look at. Hebrews 10, verse 9. Says this, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10 of Hebrews 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know, the book of Hebrews is taking the children of Israel back to what had been happening, and it shows the differences. And one of the things, the themes of the book of Hebrews is the finality of salvation. No longer does a priest go in daily and offer sacrifices, but Jesus went once to the cross. He died once for our sins, and the price has been paid. It's been settled once and for all. And when he is done, he sat down. It says he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And you know what that signifies? A finished work. He sat down. It's completed. Praise God tonight for the finished work of Jesus Christ. I am free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The work is finished. The price for our sins has been paid. There's nothing you need to do to take care of your sins except to repent and take it to Jesus Christ. I am free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you are here tonight and you have not repented of your sins, if there has not been a change of lordship in your life, that's your answer. It's Jesus Christ. I'd like to go on to the second point this evening. I am free from. Now we're free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are free from guilt, sin, and the curse of the law. guilt, sin, and the curse of the law. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I am free from guilt, sin, and the curse of the law. If you're here tonight and you're walking in freedom, you've got a clear conscience. You're free from the guilt of your past. The finished work of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, has covered your sins, and you walk in freedom from that guilt. You walk in freedom from sin. You walk in freedom from the curse of the law. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, I'd just like to pause there and just go back and just visit a little bit the picture of salvation last night. Something that I mentioned in Galatians, it talks about frustrating the grace of God. And I just briefly said last night, there's two ways that it happens. One is we add our works to it, which says God's grace isn't enough. Jesus Christ, his sacrifice was not enough. So we add our works to it. That frustrates the grace of God. Or the word frustrate in Galatians there means nullifies. You don't add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also frustrate the grace of God by taking away lordship. And too often today, salvation and lordship have gotten separated. And we've made it like, you know, I can be saved and have Jesus my Savior, but not really make him my Lord. And if, you know, if I want to, kind of like when you go into McDonald's and you order a meal, you want to supersize it, you want to go big, you want to go small, and you can take your pick. And we've made salvation out that, you know what, you want to go all the way with God and you want him to be your Lord and you're going to be radical and you do whatever he says. Or you just want to live a normal Christian life and have him be your Savior so when you die, you go to heaven. That's not possible, brothers and sisters. You cannot separate lordship and salvation. You see, when we're dead in our sins, we're going our direction. We are Lord in our lives. We live according to the desires of our flesh. But when we get saved, there's a change of lordship. There's a death to self. And that's why the author here in Romans says, how can we that are dead to sin continue any longer? There's been a turning around. And we are no longer living with ourselves as being Lord. When we were going this way, we did what we wanted to. But when we came to the cross of Jesus Christ, we understood that we're sinners. We repented of being Lord of our life. And we turned the life over to him. Now we serve a new master. And am I just going to sin so his grace abounds? No, how could I do that? I've got a new master. Yes, while we're in the flesh, we still fail. We still sin. But that is not the bend of our heart. That's not the direction we're going. And when we sin, we repent. We cry out for forgiveness. And we follow a new master. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? I'm sorry, we got a little distracted from the text. We're back in Romans chapter 6. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And before there's a resurrection, there's got to be a death. And that's what's got to happen at salvation. And if there's no death to self, there's been no salvation. Christianity is not magic. It's not just pray this prayer and you're saved. There's a death to self. You can pray a prayer till you're blue in the face, but if there's not a change of heart, if there's not a sorrow for your sins, you're not saved. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, there's our word free. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Dead to what? Dead to self. Dead to sin. That gives us a clue about true biblical freedom. If you're trying to declare biblical freedom tonight, and it's a freedom to your flesh, you're wrong. That's how the world lives. They live in freedom to the flesh. True biblical freedom is not freedom to give to the flesh to do as the flesh wishes. That's how you got saved, is by dying to the flesh. You've laid that down. Verse 8, let's keep going on. We'll talk more about this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourself also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I'm under grace. I can do what I want. No, I'm under grace. I do what God wants. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? I should just stop talking and read the text. He's answering all these things for us. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And that is key. That is key for us right there, verse 16. You need to make sure you've got this verse marked here. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read from verse 16 on down to 23, and I want you to take note of how many times the word servant is listed in here, okay? Just take note of that. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, as I read down through this tonight, you know what I see? Every one of us are servants. Every one of us are servants. There's no one who's not a servant here tonight. And if you want to take it farther, you could go outside the tent. And anyone out there you find, they're a servant. The question is, whose servant are you tonight? Are you a servant of righteousness, a servant of God? Or are you a servant of sin, where you continually serve the flesh? You see, in Christianity today, and I don't know how it is within your church, I don't know what all where you're at with this, but this whole thing of freedom and making biblical freedom be that I can do what I want and giving freedom to the flesh. Brothers and sisters, we're all servants. And freedom is Christ, is where I'm free from my flesh and I'm free to follow God and do what he wants me to do. And if I'm claiming biblical freedom as a freedom for me to serve my flesh, I'm a servant of sin. And what I just read in here says, if you are a servant of sin, you're not a servant of righteousness. Of which are you a servant tonight? Are you a servant of sin? Or are you a servant of righteousness? Everyone's a servant. To whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Now you could say, well, that sounds like it's kind of means a work salvation, because so if I'm obeying God, if I'm doing right, then I'm his child. But if I'm doing wrong, then I'm not. No, who you do, who you serve, just indicates who's your Lord. If there has been a turnaround, and to repent means to turn around. So when you're living in the flesh and you're going this way, repentance, you turn around, and now you're going this way. And If I have repented, I'm going to be a servant of righteousness. But if tonight you find yourself continually serving sin, you're not free. And in one sense, we're all servants, and we're always going to be servants, even as a free person in Christ. I'm God's servant. I am free because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. I am free from sin, guilt, the curse of the law. I am free too. I find it amazing what we are free to do according to Scripture. Your third point tonight, I am free to, Galatians 5:13. Let me read the verse. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty or freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. You want to know the people who are free in your church? It's those who are free to love and to serve. That's biblical freedom. Are you free as you go, as you gather with your brothers and sisters in your congregation? Are you free to greet anyone in the name of Jesus and you love them, you care about them, and you can serve them? Or is there someone you avoid? Biblical freedom is you are free to love and to serve. Are you free tonight? Are you free tonight? Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, Paul understood that there's going to come a time, this apostasy, where freedom's going to be made out to be something that's totally contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, just to live it up in the flesh. And he says, no, that's not at all what it is. He says, it's on the contrary. You love and serve, and that's a sign of your freedom. You know how freeing it is? When my relationships are open, when I've got no accounts with anybody, I've forgiven their wrongs against me, even if they haven't come to me yet. That's freedom. And if I can do something for somebody, I can serve them. And when the church is making a decision, or we're working on something within our church, and I don't agree, but I can still serve. And that's freedom. That's freedom. I am free to love and serve. Romans 6:16, know ye not to whom ye yourself servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And then a few verses later, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. I am free to love and to serve. Brothers and sisters, that's why you've been made free, so you can love and serve. Are you free tonight? Spiritual freedom is not a license to sin. It's a means of serving others. Freedom from what? We talked about sin, guilt, and the curse of the law. Free from the snare of sin. Free from self. Oh, we're selfish people. And when we have freedom, when even though our self doesn't want to do it, we're free to do what we know is right. That's freedom. Freedom from having control of my life. I find there's a lot of Christians today who try to keep tight control over their life. And you know what? They're never at peace. Because you can never be in control of what's happening to you in all of your life. But when you lay your life down, you say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'm going to serve you. And you just lay it down and you give up that control. You're free from controlling. God's in control. That's freedom. Freedom to what? Freedom to love and to serve. Freedom to peace. Freedom to follow in Christ in victory. Free to be passionate for God. Free to live life to the fullest without regrets. Your freedom tonight is a freedom from that which would oppress the spirit, not from that which lays a restraint on the flesh. You with me? Your freedom tonight is a freedom from that which oppresses the spirit, not from that which restrains the flesh. And under the freedom in Christ, we're free from the ceremonial law, but we are held fast to the moral law. Because of so much misunderstanding on spiritual freedom, I'm going to give you three bonus points tonight. Three things that freedom is not. Three things that freedom is not, okay? True freedom is not freedom to the flesh or freedom to self. True freedom is not freedom to the flesh or freedom to self. Some people say, I'm free in Christ. I can do what I want. Yeah, you're right. If what you want to do is honor God. Those who are free have crucified the flesh. If you want, if your desire is to obey the Spirit, then you're free. That's freedom. Freedom in Christ is not freedom to the flesh or freedom to self. Secondly, freedom in Christ is not freedom from obedience. You with me? Freedom in Christ is not, true freedom is not freedom from obedience. And for some reason, we get this idea that, well, I'm free in Christ, so now I don't have to obey anybody. It's just me and God. We were singing on the street and giving out tracts, and a man walked up to me. This was in Grenada, and he wanted to know what church you go to. And so I told him, and talking a little bit, and he obviously knew Scripture well. And then I asked him, I said, what church you go to? Obviously, he goes to some church. Oh, I don't go to church. He says, I had a church right here, man. Right here's the church. It's just him and God. And there are those, maybe even sung among us, who have bought into that. Brothers and sisters, not any one person is a church of Jesus Christ. If you study Scripture, it says we are members of the body. And we need each other. And freedom to separate and say, it's me and God. I don't need to listen to anybody else. I don't need to submit to anybody else. That's not according to Scripture. That's not biblical freedom. Freedom in Christ is not freedom from obedience. Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. I give my children a few commandments. And if, well, let's make sure we can understand it. So let's just get personal. Let's get up to date. This afternoon, my boys were playing soccer outside. I said, at 4:30, I want you all to come in. And I gave two of them the job of folding the clothes. There's a basket of clothes on the table. Two of them to fold the clothes. The third one is to take a shower. And when he's done showering, he puts them away. So he goes in everybody's room and drops them on the suitcase. And then that works out so my daughter can help get supper on the table. So that was the plan. And so then they're free to go back to their soccer game. And now suppose my sons came up to me. Well, let's just say this. I came out to the supper table at 5 o'clock, and there's still a basket of clothes there. And my boys were still playing soccer. Now, they weren't, okay? They obeyed. Let me just make sure that's clear, okay? But let's just say it went like that. I came to the supper table, and there's my basket of clothes, and my boys are still playing soccer. And I go call the boys and come in. I say, what's going on? They say, oh, Dad, we love you. You're such a great dad. I said, what about the clothes? Oh, we didn't have time. We had too good of a soccer game going on. We didn't have time for that, Dad. But I love you, Dad. If that were the case, his words of love would be worse. It's worse for him to tell me he loves me and do that than if he doesn't say it at all. Because that is so hypocritical. To come up to me and say, oh, Dad, I love you, but I totally disrespect your word. I pay no attention what you instruct me to do. You as parents get that, right? Teenagers, listen, you get that too, right? For us to give instructions to somebody and just flat out rebel against it, but then say, oh yeah, I respect you, I love you. That's so contrary. The same is to the Word of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. True biblical freedom is not a freedom from obedience. Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. In John 15, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. True love will result in obedience. Never throw out obedience under the name of freedom. In Matthew chapter 7, we have a very familiar story of where Jesus tells it. He says, the wise man, the foolish man. And you probably sing the song where the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Rains came down, and when it comes from the man at the sand, his house went flat. And the wise man that built his house on the rock, his house stood firm. We know the song. The songwriter then goes on and says, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is true, but it's not right according to the text, okay? When the text says the wise man built his house upon the rock, and actually it was Jesus that said this. You know what the rock is in the story? It begins like this. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he's like this. The rock in Matthew chapter 7 is obedience. You with me? Check it out. Now, you can still sing that song. You can still sing that third verse because it is true. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is right. But when you read that text, understand what Jesus is telling us. He's saying, if you want to build your life on a rock, you're going to obey what I say. And if you're going to disobey what I say, you're like the man that's building on the sand, and your house is going to go flat. The rock of obedience. Brothers and sisters, do you hold God's word as an authority in your life where you say, I'm going to obey it? Because if you're taking God's word lightly, you're dismissing things and you're not following them, you're building your house on a sand. And there's no freedom in dismissing obedience to the word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to disobey the word of God. In fact, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of truth at times. And brothers and sisters, let me warn you, and we have this today, and it's going to get worse and worse until the end. People proclaim biblical freedom, where it's freedom to the flesh, or people say, the Spirit of God told me to do this, and it goes against the word of God. Try the spirits. Make sure it's of God. True biblical freedom is going to lead to obedience. So freedom in Christ is not freedom from obedience. And thirdly, freedom in Christ is not freedom from authority. Freedom in Christ is not a freedom from authority. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to a group of people that is under authority. All of us have some type of authorities in our life. And we are told to live, to submit, to honor our authorities. True freedom in Christ is not a freedom from authority. Oh, I'm free. I can do what I want. I don't have to listen to you. No, that's not true. That's false freedom. Freedom in Christ is not a freedom from authority. The primary issue in spiritual warfare is obedience. Because who you obey, that's whose master you are. No wonder there's so much teaching and proclaiming freedom against obedience. And again, I don't know what has touched you. But if you have bought into any teaching where free in Christ, I'm free from authorities, I'm free from obedience, I'm free to my flesh, that's contrary to sound doctrine, brothers and sisters. True freedom is where you want to do right and you have the power to do it. True freedom is where I want to do right and I have the freedom to do it. You know, doing right is right whether I want to or not. And we're always to do right. But when I want to do right, that's true freedom. True freedom comes tonight. Let me give you this, and then we're going to start wrapping it up here. True freedom comes tonight only in Jesus Christ. True freedom comes only in Jesus Christ. True freedom comes only in repentance. If there's no repentance, you're not going to walk in freedom. Freedom comes in Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is reality. It's as things really are. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. True freedom is not going to come through the power of your own will. True freedom comes in repentance. And brothers and sisters, if there's something in your life that's binding you, that's holding you down, and you're not free tonight, you need to repent of whatever that is. Freedom comes in repentance. Maybe you're not touched on the whole thing of freedom from obedience. You know where to obey the scriptures. Maybe you're not touched by the freedom from authority, and you know you're to honor your authorities, and you know you honor your pastor, the leaders in your church, and your parents, or your employer, or whatever. You're not touched by that. You know it's not freedom to the flesh. But let's bring it right home. Are you free to love and serve your brothers in Christ? That's what you've been called. That's what your true freedom will do. Are you free tonight to love and to serve? If you're not, there's some repenting that needs to happen. Because true biblical freedom is a freedom where you are free to love and to serve. And it doesn't matter what that brother just said about you. It doesn't matter his differing on something very foundational. You still love him. And you still can serve. Are you free tonight to love and to serve? Or is there someone you're avoiding? It's been said that Anabaptists love their enemies and hate their brothers. Is that true in your case? Yeah, we're known by our non-resistance. We love our enemies. What's your relationship like with your brothers and sisters tonight, brothers and sisters? Are you free to love and to serve? In John chapter 17, as Jesus was praying in the garden, he was praying for us. He prayed for unity. Is that where your church is this evening? And are you someone who helps bring unity to the group because you love and you serve? I'm not saying you're not honest in asking questions, but you're not going to get angry in discussions. And if the brotherhood says this, you're free to submit. You're free to love and to serve. Is that where your heart is tonight, brothers and sisters? Are you free to love and serve? Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight. And I'm thankful that your word is clear on what is true freedom. I'm thankful tonight that true freedom is a freedom that loves and serves. And what a beautiful picture is a group of brothers and sisters who love and serve each other. who serve those around them, who love those around them. Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. If there's someone here this evening who doesn't have that freedom, they're not free to love and serve. I pray, Father, that you would speak to their hearts and you would clearly show them why they're not free to love and serve. Whether it's bitterness or jealousy or anger, unforgiveness, whether it's disrespect, whatever it may be, Father, I pray that in your love you'd reach down your finger and you'd carefully point out what needs to be repented of. We want to have people here that walk in true biblical freedom so that our churches are truly a testimony of those who have unity, unity in Christ, and it's a unity where we love and serve one another. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. And I rebuke Satan in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he couldn't hinder in any way from you speaking clearly to the hearts what needs to be spoken tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our brother to